Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors. She ain't no mascot, Maggie Glascott.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty. Ashley Schiavone, she don't take no baloney.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson. Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallentainment.
Ava Nagila Weber.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Susie going toe-to-toe-bin.
Mina Coochie-Coochie-Coochie.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon, Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Solo K with Wellington Dupre.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
We love you guys.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam. I'm from the Rose Freaks Bachelor podcast as well. And I'm talking to Mr. Ben Mandelker, my bestie and partner in life and love. Well, not love, but life, love of TV shows. Who's also the creator of a show that just came out with a new episode today. It's called The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. Hi, Ben.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, new episode up on YouTube, so go check it out. You can search for Real Housewares of Kitchen Island. 4 episodes now. Wow, it's really racking up those numbers.
Yeah, and we're going all over the place this year. Next week, we're going to be in Texas. We still have tickets for the Friday show, so get tickets. We're going to be recapping The Real Housewives of New Jersey, which has been epic, okay? And Saturday is sold out, and somebody on Twitter got mad at me because we're only really pushing the Friday show, and they're like, the special guest better be at the other show too. That one sold out. Don't you forget? And I was like, listen,
yeah, it was like a threat. Ronnie was like,
I know, what the hell? I don't know. We actually, truly, honestly, don't know. Of course, we invited people from the Dallas show, the Real Housewives of Dallas, but who knows if they're going to come? You don't know if these flaky people are going to come or what they're going to do or what they're going to say. And we don't plan on having any guests as interview guests anyway, like on stage. So don't worry about that. You're not missing out, okay? It's going to be an amazing show. Get there.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday.
We honestly haven't even thought that far ahead about like what if people do come, what will happen. But we're hoping that there'll be special guests both nights, ideally. We just don't, honestly, we don't know. These people are famous, okay? And they have famous schedules. So we just say, and the reason why we're talking about Friday night so much is we're just trying to sell tickets to it. We already sold the tickets to Saturday night. So what are we supposed to do? Hey, come to Saturday night. You can't, you know, so.
Yeah, we don't want to be like, it's going to be amazing Saturday. And then we can't let
Saturday
it be.
Saturday will inherently be amazing because it's sold out. And it's going to be, and as of, that is going to be our largest show we've ever done. So that will, the energy in the theater because we'll have almost 700 people, it's going to be amazing on Saturday. And then Friday will be amazing because we'll be talking about Real Housewives in New Jersey, which is on like a tear. And if you've ever wanted to be in a room with like hundreds of people, because by the way, there's going to be tons of people on Friday. Why am I rambling? Ronnie, you
set
me off.
You're not helping,
ramble.
Okay?
I'm not.
Everybody, just get your asses over there to Dallas. Then in a couple weeks after that, in February, we're going to be at the Just for Laughs Festival in Vancouver, British Columbia. So, Canada, come on. What are you waiting for? And then we have a lot of other cities coming up and something really cool to announce, hopefully next week when we find out for sure. But we're going to a lot of places. Ben can remember them better than I. Ben?
Let's see. I'm going to have to make a song about it soon. We are going to Cincinnati, Boston, Portland, Phoenix, Irvine, and Cincinnati, and Milwaukee, and Minnesota. And that's where we're going now. And well, yes, I know it said Cincinnati twice.
Yeah, we'll work on it. But we are going to be in Cincinnati twice. So there you go. So yeah. Everybody, come to those. Thanks for everybody who's coming. New t-shirts will be up next week. Frankly, I just didn't have the energy to finish them this week. What do you think of that?
Okay? I support it.
So here we are today with Top Chef.
Top Chef. So we didn't get to talk about Top Chef last week because we were in Charleston, like, honestly, just getting drunk and being crazy and being irresponsible podcasters.
We're not going to talk about it next week either. So let's get it all in together today.
Oh, shit. So, well, you know, the thing is this. Last week, of course, the week that we took off is the week that Captain Lee and Captain Sandy make a special guest appearance on a supersized big episode. So, of course, that would happen. So really sorry about that. But they didn't really do much in the episode. Basically, the whole gist of it was that the chefs were all sent off to a lake and they had to put on like parties on houseboats. And so Captain Sandy was the captain of one boat and Captain Lee was the captain of another boat. And basically the boats just like motored out to the middle of the lake and then they like docked on a pontoon. And like the extent of their contribution to it was that like Captain Lee's like, all right. So here's your galley. This is where you'll be doing your cooking. It's close quarters, so you have to use your space wisely. God damn it! I can't get that word out. God damn it!
Yeah, Captain Lee was pretty much doing what he does on the show, which is walk around the boat in his sockless sneakers. Which you know, you gotta admire a man's commitment to his shoes. I still wear my Crocs.
Yeah,
not 10 years later or something. And Captain Sandy was like, "Whoa, I'm a DJ." Anybody want some tunes? I mean, if they wanted some farting on that boat, they really should have let Sandy whip out her new DJ skills.
I know. And they were like, they were sort of like attempting to be like Top Chef mentors for a second there. Like, all right, so when you're cooking, you got to make sure you take care of your time. You got to use your space carefully. And you got to consider all the people coming on this goddamn boat.
I got a question. Who's making me cereal? Right? That's my question, goddammit.
Yeah, this is the real quick fire. And by quick fire, I mean quick cold milk in my cereal, please.
Yeah, it was a pretty fun episode just because one team is like partying and then that girl Sarah's like, yeah, I like to party. I'm the one who throws all the parties where I live. And usually it just means I get really wasted and take off my shirt and run around the boat. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. And then like cut to her wearing like a giant inflatable raft and like knocking things over. So yeah. She made basically when we were watching this, I was watching the episode on the way back from Charleston. So I was in the airport watching it and I was just like cracking up because like Padma was really on fire. Like every single thing Padma was saying, I was like, oh my God, I'm like actually like sad that we're not podcasting about this because like she was just giving that look to everyone and everything. Sarah made like they made jello shots and Sarah called them jiggle juice. And Padma's like, oh, is this the jiggle juice? Wow, last time I had one of these, we were at Gail's and she was dancing the rumba in her living room. We said, look at that jiggle juice. Does it taste like that?
Jiggle juice, huh? Gail calls that a shower. Yeah, she was horrified by the jiggle juice, which I really loved. She was like, it's like there's too much match in there, like whatever was in there. And then Sarah's just like, Nickers Mac, anybody, huh? Basically, Sarah's Captain Lee in this recap, okay? I can't have Captain Lee and Sarah in the same room at the same time. Yeah. It gives everything away.
And also, by the way, we should mention that Sarah continued her tradition of always being the best at everything. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, I always have parties up on that lake. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No, I have the best parties. I have the best jello shots. Yeah, you got a jello shot recipe? Okay, because mine's the best.
Yeah. And then Napoleon Dynamite Brian, the week before, he had messed up meat. And mm-hmm. He was very upset because he's a butcher. Now, listen, butchers don't necessarily cook meat well. Okay, I'm sorry to break it to you. I'm sure I believe in you, Brian, because I like you. I like your face. I like your Napoleon Dynamite attitude.
Hannah Gadsby look.
Yeah, but he came. Yeah, it's a new trend in comedy. But he came back and tried meat again. And this time he was on the boring team. And the boring team, like, they have no personality. And so they were just like, you know what's going to make this fun? Us, that girl Michelle.
Yeah, Michelle, so, she's like, trivia.
Yeah, trivia. So he stood in the hot tub. That was his contribution. He's like, I'm going to stand in the hot tub because what's not fun about chopping up some pork in a hot tub?
Yeah, exactly. Let me sweat over this pork. Let's like have some like a mixture of like bodily fluids and copper tone just like drip onto this. And so he made this porchetta. Yeah. You know, one of the dramas that they had, by the way, was that the quiet team's boat also lost power for several hours. So that was like dramatic for them. So basically, and on top of that, Adrian, who was on their team, got sick. So I felt so bad for her, like to be sick on a show and on a boat all at once.
You know,
and it's not involved with a foot infection.
You know,
that's
who
like
I feel
hard.
Sorry for when they're sick? Me. And that's like it.
Yeah.
When other people are sick, I'm like, get over it. Get a life. Like, get to work. Like, who cares? Yeah. People get sick every day and the economy keeps just humming along. Get up. Get up, Adrian. You wuss. Get up. Like, I'm so mad. But then, girl, if I even get a, you know, paper cut or anything, I'm like,
yeah.
Crying. You know how I am when I get a cold.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Upset. I'm very sad about it. I feel like I've done something to God.
I genuinely felt bad for her because her sickness really, I felt like it really came through across the TV. Like, I started to feel like I was getting sick. It was one of those sicknesses where it's like, ooh, she is portraying her sickness right now so well that, like, I understand it too well. Like, I felt like I was coming down with the flu just watching her.
No, when people are sick, I need them to say, I'm sick, and then leave. Go away from me. I don't
she did
need
do
them
that.
To be. She did, sort of. Kind of. But then when she wasn't, she was like, I'm sick. And I was like, no, yeah. That's not how.
She was doing what I would do, be dramatic.
Me too.
Like, need a chair.
Me too. I'm from the Hippocrat Party. That's what I'm saying. I'm a total wuss, but I don't like seeing it on TV. Like, be weak somewhere else, okay?
Yeah.
I need you to be weak on my television.
So Brian, he made this porchetta, which of course he messed up because on top of everything else, he brined it with Thai seasoning, so it didn't taste like a porchetta or whatever. And then there's something, I think maybe because of the brining, something happened with the chemical compositions that when he made it, the pork belly separated. And Padma just kept on shading him about it. She's like, I've never seen a porchetta where the belly separates from it. How does it feel to be a failure on the porchetta front? Have you ever done anything terrible like that before?
It's like hanging out with Gail in her stomach in two different chairs.
I mean, to me, it just looked like crap. But I'm sure Gail would have loved it. Bless her heart. She has very low standards.
Didn't she do a literal, like, did you do this on purpose? Have the belly separated from the pork?
Did you mean to have the belly separated from the pork? Did you mean to buck centuries of tradition on how to make this classic cut of meat?
Yeah. The day that Babe cried. Am I right, Gail? Oh, yes.
Was this supposed to be an ode to Gail Simmons not being on this season, being separated from us? She's the belly to our tasty pig.
Wow, a pork belly separated from its master. It's like when ephedra was legal. Am I right, Gail? God, I miss ephedra, by the way. Okay.
Well,
so
she shouldn't have gone to a fight with Candy. Get it!
Go! I was thinking... That made me think. I was like, God, I love diet pills. That was the last time I was thin when ephedra was legal. God, I miss you, ephedra XL or whatever. Okay, so what else happened? So Brian ended up really fucking up. Now, he must have fucked up because, you guys, the food on this episode was not very exciting food. Yeah. Eddie made a piece of shrimp on a toothpick with some ham, okay?
Yeah.
With some prosciutto. Like, no.
This is Top Chef. Nilu got mad at him. She's like, I mean, I could have done that. Like, I could have just, like, stuck a toothpick into a shrimp and just passed it around. Like, I could have done that.
I know. She's not selling her parties at all. She's like, if I had a party, that's something I would do. And I was like, your parties suck. Like, who wants to go to
You know what I do at my parties? One. I find some cardboard, I put it in some oil, deep fry it, and serve it up and tell people it's a cracker. That's what I do. It's like, ooh, Nilu.
Let me guess. Gail's the only guest.
Guess do you call that the Gail special?
I've seen her do that with Hershey's before.
We call those amuse Gails.
So who was in the... I don't even remember who's the bottom and the top, because that was
Eddie,
like 4 days ago.
Well, yeah, let's see, because it's a sad team.
Didn't Eddie win? No, Eddie couldn't have won with his
No, Eddie was on the sad team. It was Michelle. I forget what Michelle made.
Michelle was on the sad team, too.
Oh, she made like a soup. There was also a thing about a dumpling. Who made the dumpling? Someone made a dumpling.
The Jersey guy.
Yeah. Oh, Nilu was in a snit about that. She was like, I mean, it should have just been a pot sticker. Why did it have to be in a soup? It should have just been a pot sticker. Like, every 2 seconds, she's like, and can I say something else, Tom? That soup. It should have been a pot sticker. It's like, okay, Nilu,
yeah,
you get
Nilu.
Your pot sticker agenda.
Yeah,
and
calm yourself
by the way,
down.
I totally agree.
I mean, I know. Look, you show me a fucking shrimp on a stick, I'm going to pick anything else over that. And I think at least the dumpling took work. I mean, the guy actually had to work on it. I mean, shrimp on a stick. Eddie, I'm rooting for you, Eddie. Cut that shit
I don't know.
Out.
I just think that, like, a dumpling in soup on a boat party, that's, like, a little too fancy. They were, like, they were definitely, like, a little precious on that team. And I agree with you. It should have been pasta. I mean, in general, in
someone
life.
Someone doesn't have Netflix, okay? I'm sticking up for dumpling.
No, it was a dumpling, just a dumpling in soup. And she was saying, just put it on a stick and just make it a more portable dumpling.
Okay, side with Nilu.
I will
no,
side
I'm
with
just kidding. She's I think she was right. Yeah, I think she was right. You know, she's not that far from Gail. She looks like her. She has terrible patterns like her. Like, everything's like
she
her.
She carries boxes to her.
Yeah, she takes fresh and easy boxes all the way. Basically, Napoleon Dynamite got sent home, and he's like, "Course,
finally."
And then, who else did we have? Anything else could happen in that?
I mean, I'm sure there were. I can't remember. There was actually a really big episode, and I remember cracking up the entire time. But I think, why don't we move on to today's episode? Because today's episode, I mean, I'm finding that Top Chef has become, like, my favorite comedy on TV, and it's not even supposed to be. I just, like, at this point, anytime Padma says something or Tom says something, I start laughing. And even when they don't, when someone else says something, I just imagine Padma interjecting and saying something. So I'm just laughing the entire time.
I'm really enjoying Tom leaning into his, like, Instagram spiritual meme thing in the end of his speeches now, like when he gives his end speech. Because it used to just be like, well, chefs, you know, sometimes you have time and sometimes you don't have time. And, you know, what are you going to do? Like, you ran out of time and that's going to end badly for one of you. So,
Padma, all of us.
Padma.
Yeah. Padma.
Padma.
Yeah.
But this, you know, now he's like, well, chefs, you know, sometimes you're walking on a beach and then you see footsteps next to you. And you wonder to yourself, is it Jesus? Is it Buddha? Is it Allah? Or is it just Gail? You know, the memory of Gail. Like, no one knows. Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. I was like, look, there's Gail's footsteps. Turned out it was just the path of a beached whale. Huh, who knew?
Also, the difference between a dumpling and a pot sticker, I believe, is that they're fried. Someone just asked. Right? Yeah. They're like pan-fried.
I think so. I mean, I think it's
a dumpling
sort of
generally steamed. You can have a dumpling that's cooked, but generally when they're when they're cooked, like fried cooked, they're called pot stickers because they stick the pot. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I think that is correct. I think also technically dumpling is more of the umbrella term of, like, because I always grew up thinking that dumplings were like Chinese dumplings or like Asian dumplings, where it's like meat in like a wrapper. And apparently, you know, dumplings are, there's a whole world of dumplings, darling. So, we should probably do our disclaimer because I feel like we have to do it on a weekly basis now.
I feel like we should give up our disclaimer soon. I feel like at some point people just got to, if they listen to this and they're offended for Gail, at some point you got to say it's called a back catalog.
No, because I don't want Gail Simmons to, I don't want Gail, we said this every week. This will be the week that we don't do the disclaimer is the week that Gail decides to tune into the podcast and is like, oh, cool, some Top Chef coverage. And then here's us just like railing on her. And I was like, these guys are assholes. So I just want to say we love Gail Simmons. We think she's beautiful. We do not think that she's fat or overweight. We think that she is just gorgeous. And even if she were fat or overweight, we wouldn't even care. We just like to pretend that Padma hates Gail and spends all her time shading Gail. That's it. It's all a fiction, and we like to go with it.
Yeah, it's fiction. Okay, so now today we're starting with a show called Top Chef. And everyone's super depressed because it was after, this is, you know, right after the last episode. And those everyone's boats on the dock. It's hot. Nobody slept except Adrian. The baker. Just kidding. So no one slept and everyone's super upset. And even Kelsey, who won. And Kelsey says a lot today how tired she is. And she talks about her baby a lot. And I was like, have fun on your plane trip home, biatch.
Yeah.
So that's what I was expecting to happen. And, Michelle's so like, chef's... this was the hardest thing I've ever done. I was like, speak up, Michelle!
Wow, that party was just like off the hook. I've never been to such a crazy party as that. Wow.
Yeah.
So the chefs all, like, they get off the boats and they, of course, pile into their BMWs, which meant it's time for our, like, little BMW commercial of the episode. We're like, wow, all our bags fit in. Oh my God, is there navigation? Hey, BMW, take me to Nashville. Wow, it listens.
And they say things like, because, you know, they have to do it, obviously, for work and they can't come up with things to say. So they're like, whoa, nice trunk.
Wow, this handlebar really really holds my weight when I'm grappling with it.
Yeah, are these glass windows? Wow!
Are you telling me that this car runs on gasoline and electricity?
Kelsey's the most into it, but yeah. I think she's Southern, and we'll talk to anything, you know. Kelsey's like, hey, BMW, take me to Sooty Opryland. God, you're good to me, BMW. Hey, BMW, play me a song. I can just imagine her at home talking to her Siri or whatever, her Mopexa. I'm not going to say her name because people get mad at us for starting off all their lights. Hey, Mopexa, turn off the lights.
Mopexa. Hey, Mopexa.
Hey, Mopexa.
Yeah, I can totally imagine Kelsey just talking to her car all day long. And finally her car's like, listen, I'm an introvert, okay?
Yeah. I do. Can I just drive? I want the BMW to be bitchy. Like, listen, I'm richer than all of you combined. Can I just have a silent drive without listening to, like, the yokels in the back seat talk about puffed rice?
He's like, you know, it's bad enough that I'm a BMW and that they painted me this garish red, okay? But now I have to actually respond to you? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, so let's see here. They're driving and they're like, oh my God, we're going to Opryland. Who in the world are we going to meet? And Michelle's like, I really want to meet Garth Brooks.
No, I thought that was so funny that that was her special request. I'm like, maybe if you were on network TV. So
good luck with that.
So then Adrian, meanwhile, is still sick and still puking. They have to like pull over while she barfs everywhere.
I would have driven away. I would have been like, you know what? Go in the shoulder there and throw up, and then just left. Just left her sick ass there.
But then they'd be stuck with just Eddie. And like, I think that's Adrian's conversation is better.
That's true.
Eddie's in the backseat, like passed out, like bubbles coming out of his mouth, like occasionally murmuring things about Red Snapper. I don't know. So, so now, so anyway, so they're all excited because they're going to the Grand Ole Opry. Not to be confused with the Gale Old Opry, which is just Gail singing country music to canned ham.
I mean, there are a lot of seats. Am I right, Gail?
The best part about a Gail concert is that there's always a seat available.
Okay. Oh, by the way, note, this is very important to any Top Chef fan. Kelsey loves chicken fingers. Every year there's some chef who's like, wow, I'm a chef, but I also like easy, fast food. I'm like, yeah, it's called being an American, okay?
It's called having taste buds, okay? Yeah. There's a reason why those are enduring classics.
You want a fucking medal? They're like, wow, look at me eating a chicken finger. When normally I make a garden salad to remind me of meeting my husband at Disneyland or whatever.
So they go to the Grand Ole Opry, which is, I was like laughing because it's just funny to me. It's still Ronnie that we were in Nashville basically 2 months ago. It's surreal. It like feels like I can't believe I was actually there. Padma's on the stage ready to greet them. And Kelsey, she's like, hello, chefs. Welcome to the Grand Ole Opry. And Kelsey's like, oh my God, I've watched like 500,000 Opry videos. I just love country music. And Padma goes, oh, great.
Great.
That's excellent. Wow. How wonderful for you.
Whoa, Kelsey.
What a fascinating detail about your life that I never asked for.
You're like a Val pack. They just keep coming, but no one's asking for them.
Oh, you know who'd love that story? Gail. She'll listen to anything. She's so desperate. Bless her heart. She has no one to talk to.
I know that Padma went backstage and was like, get rid of that one.
She spoke out of line. It was my turn to read the lines.
Who watches Opryland videos on YouTube? Disgusting. Get rid of her.
Kelsey, I have a question. When you watched those 500,000 Opryland videos, were you watching them ironically, or did you actually want to see what happened? This does matter.
Well, chefs, countless artists have performed here at the Grand Ole Opry, including my good friend Carrie Underwood, my good friend Reba McEntire, my good friend Dolly Parton.
And not my best friend, Lena Waithe. A lot of country stars need what we call a rider. A rider is what an artist wants backstage. So, for instance, Gail always requires a pineapple, 3 live turkeys, and a box of Skittles.
The first time I saw it, I thought, is this a potion to kill horses or a meal? Gail's rider.
I remember the first time I went backstage with Gail. I was like, I can't believe I accidentally walked into this D'Agostino's. Turns out she ordered the whole store.
So I was thinking in this one, I'm like, you know, I need some people to hate because Top Chef has given us such great villains over the year. We've had, you know, the original redheaded Tiffany, and then we had Marcel, and then we had, I mean, we've had such great people to hate.
Mustache guy from last year, yeah.
Yeah, Luigi from last, I mean, we've had such, Hosea, oh, I can't believe that hose bags won still. I'm still mad about that. Bacon tattoo, shut up. So... Yeah, we need a good villain, and we really don't have one. I mean, Ben, you have Eddie, but I like Eddie because...
Eddie's not like a villain. He just sort of... I'm like, ugh, Eddie.
Yeah, I just like that he has, like, wooden teeth. I think that's so nice. Like, I like crafts and nature. I don't like Jersey because I think he's, like, fake nice. And we've said since the beginning he's, like, the kind of guy who's going to immediately start crying, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's probably going to be the snottiest. But he never really turned into that much of a villain until right now. And I thought, finally, he's going to come out of the closet as a huge villain and make this season great. Because everybody has to go pick your ingredients up. So they all go pick their ingredients, and 3 of them have to make breakfast. And he takes all the eggs.
All the eggs. And he's like, sorry, I've got to make omelets. I'm like, how many omelets does he have to make? He has to make 3 of them, right? So that's going to be like 9. Are there only 9 eggs?
Do you have to make 3? Doesn't he just have to
make
2?
Well, I think it's like one for each judge and then one for cameras. I think.
Well, it looked like he took 24 eggs. I mean, it looked like a huge basket of eggs that he took. That is not cool. And then they're like, please give me some eggs. And he's like, can't make omelets without breaking some eggs. And I broke them. I'm like, this is the hill you're going to die on? You're going to become a villain over eggs? Because you're a piece of shit now, okay? And I don't feel for you.
Yeah, and I don't feel for your omelets. Although it did make me think back to that one season where they all had to make omelets in the very first episode and they all fucked up. Like, none of them knew how to make omelets.
Yeah. And
Wolfgang Puck was like, what is this going on here? No one knows how to make pop omelets.
Shut up, sit down, or get out. this guy, I think, learned how to make omelets from Food Wishes on YouTube. My personal favorite teacher.
That is the ultimate omelet, like, tutorial.
Yes, I even bought the little rubber spatula thing that he's using to make those omelets, and I can make those. For my taste, honestly, they're a little bit soft. I don't like a soggy egg in the middle, and they're a little bit soft for me.
They're a little soft. It's tricky because I like a soft scrambled egg, and I think with an omelet, I don't necessarily want the omelet to be firm. It's a little soft, but I don't mind. The timing is really tricky. But I've actually recently been doing a lot of omelets over the past week, and like I just follow that guy's method, and it works so well. It's like shocking how easy he makes it.
Yeah, really good. Also, do you know what else I learned how to make? I don't know if I told you. When I was writing our song for the Crappies, I learned how to make eggs à la française.
Well, that's basically, isn't that just like a slow scramble with like a little bit of water, right?
No, it's, well, yeah, basically. Well, it's scrambled eggs with milk and salt and pepper, but you just like keep stirring them, that's all.
Yeah, that's the key, by the way. When it comes to scrambled eggs, like once I finally listened to all these chefs who say you gotta go low and slow, I was like, fine, I'll do it. And I was like, oh my god, when you cook a scrambled egg low and slow, and if you make it even fancier with an eggs à la française, they taste so rich and creamy. They're delicious. It's shocking.
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 Absolutely shocking.
That's why it was inexplicable that no one wanted my eggs à la française.
Do you want to know how to make some Ronnie scrambled eggs?
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
You crack eggs in, then get your fingers and pull out all the shell that you got in there, because you're going to get some shell, okay? Because you don't put them against a bowl. You slam them down on the table, which is supposed to make them not crack on the inside, but it doesn't work for me.
Yeah, it makes them crack even more for me.
Yeah, me too. But I learned that from a chef, so I'm still trying it like 20 years later and trying to make it work. And then... you put it in the pan while it's already hot, has butter in it, and then you wait for it to set on the bottom, and then you just break it all up and stir it around until it's done, okay? Then you put some hot sauce on it, some love, some sour cream. Maybe if you have leftover French fries, which who doesn't, throw those in there. That's it. Leftover French fries.
Yeah, the way I do it is I break, like, it's going to be 3 or 4 eggs, depending on how hungry I am. I crack them on the side, on the rim of the bowl. Whoa. And I beat the eggs, and then I take a pinch of salt and I whisk the eggs in, whisk the salt in. I try to do the salt a little bit ahead of time because I was reading in the food lab that like the earlier you salt your eggs, the better they are. They won't like weep water, et cetera, later. Good. And then I put a little bit of olive oil in the pan and I heat it over low heat. I usually let it go for like a minute. And then I pour the eggs in there. And then while the eggs are sort of like on a very low, I like wash the bowl and wash the counter. And I come back and usually I start to set up a little bit. And then I just stir until it's done. And sometimes it can take a while. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if it's a little warmer, it'll have an effect like yours where it'll be just like, it'll be a little set on the bottom. And then you just go and you chop it all up. So sometimes it's like big curds. Sometimes it's little curds. And honestly, they all taste good to me.
Well, who doesn't love curd? Okay, guys.
But the key is to pull the eggs off while they still look like a little shiny because they still cook a little bit more on the plate. So you don't want them to be wet, but like a little shiny. So that way they taste like creamy, but they're still cooked.
Wow. Ooh. Eee.
I know.
Everybody.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, so these chefs are cooking their breakfast and all their things. Kelsey decides to do a shakshuka, which I thought was a pretty bold move. I mean, I don't want to stereotype all country stars, but I just feel like I will. And I just wouldn't imagine shakshuka being like exactly what I'd cook for a country star. I feel like I'd cook something that's like a little harder, you know?
Well, it's a tricky challenge because they don't get to speak to the country star first. Yeah. So they don't know who it is. I mean, not that Reba would have something different than this twink, whoever it is, but still they don't know who it is and they don't get to talk to them about what they want. So they don't know if they want like interesting things or an egg, you know, because like literally, like who makes an omelet? Like I would never think to be like, I'm going to just make an omelet. Gross. Yeah, like why would you do minutes. That? It's Top Chef, make an effort, but yeah. You never know. And then he ended up liking one of the simplest things.
Yeah, exactly. So
it looked disgusting, by the way. Okay, we'll get there.
We'll get there. So basically, yeah, Padma just appears out of nowhere. It's like 5 minutes. That's how long it takes Gail to eat a porterhouse. Okay. Anyway, so
Padma of the opera. She just comes out, 5 minutes. Like, oh, God.
At which point I'll drop a chandelier on Adrian's head. Sorry, you're sick. So Adrian's already like, she's like, fuck this, like I can't move fast, I'm sick, I'm not paying attention to anything, I'm just gonna put a big piece of meat on some vegetables, it looks sloppy. And I was like, that kind of looks good though, secretly.
Oh, I can't with meat that's like,
I know you're not.
It looked like flesh, like it, I mean it is, but you know what it I was. Mean it was like it not was cooked. Like it's so rare, it didn't even look rare, it just looked raw, completely raw.
Yeah,
it was gross.
So, the guest judge was Hunter Hayes, who's like a big country star. And he comes out, and I don't know if you noticed this, Ronnie, but I felt like he had like this weird downward spiral over the course of the quickfire about like eating in public. Like he sort of like revealed some strange like eating disorder. He's like, don't look at me. I'm not used to people looking at me while I eat. This is strange. That's like,
yeah.
Like we saw a side.
Well, could
him
you imagine? Because they line up all three of the chefs who are competing for lunch, dinner, and breakfast, and they have them lined up right in front. It's like three people lined up in front of them, and it's not just people looking at you eating. It's like when you eat in West Hollywood and no one eats here. So, like, if I'm eating fast food in the day, which people in West Hollywood only eat shit like that at night. So when you rebel and you eat like a pizza or something in the daytime, it's that look of desperation. Like people are they're like, and that's how they're looking at him because they have that desperation in their eyes because they want to win, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So David serves his omelet, Eric serves oatmeal, and I don't know if you know, Padma just picks up the oatmeal and just starts shaking it like, huh, I want to see if it gales. Nope. No wobble.
Yeah, oatmeal with maple syrup and brown sugar, I mean, whatever. And then Kelsey makes her shakshuka. It's a deconstructed pizza. It's like a pizza, but it's not pizza. It's a shakshuka instead of a pizza. Thank you, BMW.
I'm like, that's not what a shakshuka is at all. She's trying to, like, sell it to Hunter Hayes, basically. She's like, don't be scared.
And he looks like a little kid, so she's like, looks like pizza, doesn't it? It's like a pizza. It's like a choo-choo coming in your mouth, Hunter.
Here comes that, you know, listen, you can't say shakshuka without choo-choo, am I right? Okay, open wide.
Choo-chooka. That's what I made you, okay?
Padma's like, did you know Hunter's music? Are you a fan? Oh, did that embarrass you, Kelsey? I'm so sorry. Hunter, Kelsey's obsessed with you. She won't stop talking about it. Before, she's like, I've watched 500,000 Hunter Hayes videos. I was like, okay, Kelsey. Oh, you're right there still. Sorry.
She's like, my good friend Hunter, did you hear that my not-friended-all blonde hick over there is a huge fan of you?
Hey, Hunter, my new best friend Hunter, isn't it crazy how into you she is? I mean, stage 5 clinger, am I right?
And poor guy is like, you can tell that he's one of those guys who's just at a shitty challenge. We've been those guys where you're so excited to be there and then you eat the food and it's like, and you have to think of something to say just in case there's a camera around, you know, and he's just trying to come up with anything he can say. He's like, well, lunch is the only meal I get sometimes.
Yeah. Michelle's,
what do you say,
like,
to an omelet, you know?
I know. When he says that, Michelle goes, yeah, kind of like us. Save us. Save us, Hunter.
You guys, if we're going to keep doing these live streamy video things, I've got to find a comfortable way to do this in my house. I'm on a stool. I do not want to sit on a stool for this long. It hurts.
I do not support stools. I think stools are like the most uncomfortable thing, and I really resent them.
But my desk is in my kitchen, and my kitchen is terrifying and disgusting. So
you need to just
out.
Get a high chair. Get a high chair from like IKEA.
Oh, like some with a back so I could do this. Oh, look at that. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think you'll find many that run rollers. There are some, I think, but like you
have, I wasn't really rolling. I was leaning. Look, I was like, oh, yeah, leaning. Oh, yeah, I'm comfortable now.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable now. I'm not.
Yeah. Stools are like from made by the devil.
Well, I used to have a couch desk, but now my couch is like a sectional. It's not really good for that. So I got a moon pod thing. It's a big beanbag chair. And I think I call it Sheena because it's just like a big lump of useless crap. But I think I'm going to make it. I actually love it now that I use it. And so I'm going to make a floor desk that like, you'll see, everybody. I'm just, you know, that no one needs to know that. Sorry.
You know what's the worst are those stools that like allude to the fact that they have a back, but they don't really have a back at all.
I hate those.
You know, where it's like it's a stool, but it has like a little thing in the back that's like, look, we're suggesting that there's a back area there. So we're suggesting that this is more comfortable. But it's like, no, there's still no back support. So why do you even include your little like, it's like a spoiler, like a, like, you know.
Yeah, it makes you miss the back more.
Yeah.
God, hate I loved it. Recapping Top Chef because it doesn't feel so unnatural to just start talking about seating.
Yeah. You know? Like, or stools.
Yeah, something like totally mundane. It's like, that's Top Chef. We're talking about cooking eggs for an hour, so I guess we can talk about stools.
Yeah. So anyway, so then there's like some dinner stuff they serve, and Hunter's talking about how he doesn't get to eat until midnight ever. So, you know, he's just like, again, revealing more layers to his eating habits.
Yeah.
And ultimately, in the bottom of the challenge, David, which made, I think, both of us very happy after he stole everyone's eggs.
Yeah, what a fucker. And then he put a goat cheese vinaigrette, and it wasn't like vinaigrette with goat cheese. It was like melted like goat cheese
fondue.
Into
it. It was like a called it a fondue.
But you know, that's actually something interesting. It wasn't just a shrimp on a stick, like he, and it wasn't just an omelet like I thought it was gonna be. Like, he made an effort to do something really cool, but you know, you can't do that for everybody. And Hunter did not like that. He was like, ew, what was that? There was sauce. Ew.
It's like, ew. And then he's like, Eddie, I'm sorry, like, everything sat in the same flavor profile, so...
I was like, okay, someone who's watched Top Chef before.
I know, I was like, Padma told you to say that, didn't she?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, they all tasted good. She's like, say that Eddie sat in the same flavor profile, and then watch his face, it's hilarious, watch.
And then they were serving him also salads, like a bunch of salads, and I think just because they're thinking, like, he's a celebrity, and he's thin... and little, and maybe he needs his greens. I don't know. But he did not like that because he was like, oh, yeah, there's always some fairy on a diet. So salads are good sometimes, you know. And then there's like another salad, and he's like, a shaved vegetable salad. And then Michelle gave him, at least she made an effort. But again, I think she's placating a short person who looks very young because she's like, I made you a grilled cheese sandwich.
I was like, you want a grilled cheese sandwich? He's like,
no, a grilled cheese salad. I'm sorry. So she
salad,
made like grilled cheeses and then cut them up and put it in it. I was like, is there a prize at the bottom? Like, this is pandering, okay?
Yeah. And so, so David, Eddie, and Kelsey were in the bottom, which is funny because they're in the bottom of the main challenge. And then on the top were Eric, Sarah, and Adrian. And in fact, Adrian won. So after all that, all that drama about her being sick and her steak, it was actually the thing that he loved the most.
And she was shocked because it's like a lame steak. Yeah. Like, it was lame. She's like, what the fuck? I just won with something so lame, but I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, Pam was like, hey, Kelsey, did you see this? The guy that you love, his favorite thing was that shit steak. Can you believe that? Can you believe who you love? Oh, my God.
So Padma goes, I'm gonna need an encore.
You know, chefs, a song comes on the radio and it can take you back to your first kiss, your wedding, or in the case of Gail, the first time you ate a bag of marshmallows on the subway,
the first time you saw a sunset, the first time you held your baby, the first time I caught Gail eating my bread crust out of the hotel trash bin. I mean, hilarious.
The first time Gail tried to convince me that you could eat the box that came along with the Domino's.
Hot, no, ready, Gail. And digested.
Bless her heart. She just tries to be eco-friendly.
So the guest judges are going to be Jonathan Waxman and some guys who created the Nashville Music Festival.
Yeah.
And they have to do musical inspiration. So they have to pick something that inspires you musically. And
we're also going to be inviting our other judge is going to be Caleb Falalas from the Kings of Leon and his wife, who's someone I've known for years, Lily Aldrich.
And then Adrian, for some reason, was like, you know, when I went to college, I was really sad and homesick, so I'm going to buy caviar. I was like, what? You come from a dairy farm. This makes no sense.
Her inspiration was Home by Edwin Sparks and the Magnetic Zeros. And then David from New Jersey, his was Incubus, Morning View. And his whole thing, which all the way, I mean, I like Incubus, but I always feel like if that's going to be your inspiration on Top Chef, there may be an issue. So he staged in Portugal, and he comes from a big Portuguese family, at which point we saw like a picture of his Portuguese family. So then I'm like, uh-oh, Portuguese family alert. That's probably going to be an elimination.
Oh, really?
It's a sepia-toned photo. And on top of that, he's like, I want to do octopus with pork. That's classic. And they're like, sorry, the octopus is frozen. I was like, the mention of a frozen ingredient and a sepia photo.
They're tricking us, though, because they're doing like the phone call of death, and they're doing a lot of sepia photos this week. And then they're doing things like when somebody brings up their sad story to use it in a presentation, they're not kicking them off. I love when they do that. When Padma's like, that story was sad. Please pack your knives and get the fuck out, random person who tried to make me feel something. Sorry your family member died, but your food is terrible. Unfortunately, your career just died as well. Bye.
Oh, and then Eddie's inspiration was Cake, which I'm like, I feel like I don't know many songs by Cake, but I feel like all the songs by Cake are just like some like quick rhythm thing with someone talking over it, right?
I don't know Cake. I mean, I just know actual Cake.
Yeah.
Like, who's inspired by Cake? Have you heard of brownies? Have you heard of Snickers bars? Cake is like the wussiest dessert of all time, okay?
Well, also, whose inspiration is Cake and then you make Red Snapper? Like, make Cake.
Yeah, and what was the song? He's like, my inspiration is Cake. Oh, yeah, he said, I made this dish for my wife 10 years ago. Like, I Think I Love You Madly by Cake. And this guy's food stories with his wife are all terrifying. You know?
I know. I feel bad for his wife. I feel like that he's experimenting with her constantly. And she's like, I don't want to have sea slug. I know you saw that on TV, but I don't want it.
But then why did he make Red Snapper with puff rice cereal instead of risotto?
I don't know. Maybe
he didn't say he used to make it like that. He just said he used to make her Red Snapper with risotto. But now he's not going to use risotto. He's going to use snap rice. Is it puff rice? Hold on. I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
I Love You Madly by Cake. I guess, but I'm trying to see where puff rice fits in. And you know what? It's probably something really obvious, and the listener's going to be like, hey, stupid, one of the lyrics is, look, I'm a pirate.
Yeah.
One of the lyrics of that song is puffed rice. Your muff is nice, and I like puffed rice.
Yeah.
Okay.
So David is also starting to go down. It's like one thing is going wrong after another. So his clams are too big, and his like little his little electric burner is like not working, and he's like throwing a hissy fit.
He is.
And I was like, you, Ronnie.
Baby.
I was like, yeah. Yeah, after all, after like a season of like, oh my God, I love you, I worship you, I'm a big Gale stan, all that stuff. He's a little bitch.
He's a little cry bitch, okay? And he's like, no, and they're offering to help him. He's like, no, forget it. Just forget it. Just,
he's like,
ew.
I have some serious sauce work to do, which is what always cracks me up about chefs. They get all tatted up, like, oh, I'm all chef. I'm like, I'm gonna be on Sons of Anarchy. Yeah, I got some serious sauce work to do. Okay,
to make guys, we all have some sauce work to do. So yeah, he was being a little bitch, and my favorite part of that was that he was mad about the clams that he bought, because he picked he got them. Like, did you? It's not like somebody just delivered clams to you.
Yeah,
you saw
a lot
the
of grew in the bin while you're waiting.
But I do give him credit for not using frozen octopus. Gross, Ronnie. Octopus.
Octopus. Gross.
That's what he was going to use. Okay, so then Kelsey makes chicken pot pie because her song is Sunday Kind of Love by Etta. Because you can hang with the guy on Friday and Saturday. Who do you want to hang out with on Sunday? Papa John.
Hunter Hayes.
It. Yeah, Hunter Hayes. So she's making him a chicken pot pie. And let's see. Do we need to talk about all this?
So,
oh, yeah.
So Tom and Graham show up to tour the kitchen, and they start talking to Eric because his inspiration is Biggie Smalls. And Tom's like, oh, yeah, well, funny story. I used to live on the same street as Biggie Smalls. Can you believe that? I lived on the same street. Like, sort of an amazing facet of my history. I'll tell you one thing. I can't imagine 20 years from now someone's going to be bragging about living on the same street as a mixologist. That's for sure.
Yeah, so Eric is doing, I'm sorry, I got lost in my notes, but Eric is doing Biggie Smalls, and then Justin's like, you know what, I am doing Purple Rain Yoki, because Prince,
Minnesota, etc.
Yeah, and Tom's like, well, you know, you could also use raspberries.
Yeah, I mean, wow. Apparently my suggestions fall on deaf ears, you know, like saying you could use raspberries, or maybe don't be a mixologist, I don't know.
You could use law school. You know, no one listened to that either. So
you could use 25 years of experience that your father has and carry on the family tradition and name. Or you could not.
And then Michelle's like, I like the Beatles and I listen to the Beatles, hence the name Michelle.
I was almost going to be named Yellow Submarine.
For a long time, people called me Blackbird, but there was already another girl named Blackbird in my class.
There was an awkward phase where I was just called Help.
Then she's making Red Snapper again. I was like, you guys have all these like really pretty stories, but then you're going to make Red Snapper. This show, that's why you don't need this. You don't need a story with every show. I disagree with these food competition shows that are like, but why does that mean something to you? Because it fucking tastes good. How about that? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm cooking this because it tastes good.
Yeah, exactly. Sarah's making a gumbo because her dad made them, was like, my dad said when I opened up a restaurant, you gotta have a gumbo on there. So I'm gonna make the most delicious gumbo you ever had, because I can make gumbo. I'm also gonna make the most delicious jambalaya. And honestly, all these red snappers, I'm gonna make the best red snapper also. So I hope you got a good recipe, because I'm the best.
And I'm gonna serve it drunk with my shirt off too. How about that? The party episode is over, Sarah. Okay, put your clothes back on.
So then, now they're cooking and cooking and cooking. And then Eddie tells a little story about, he's like, so the first meal I ever made for my wife was a flaked red snapper, and she doesn't like fish, so I made her fish. And Eric just goes, Eric just starts laughing. He's like, classic Eddie. Because of course Eddie would make his wife something that she specifically does not like. She's like, I do not like red snapper. Great. So I made you red snapper. Of course, Eddie. Yeah,
trying to talk her into it.
And you know it's a thing, because notice that Eric laughed. They all laughed. Like, of course, that's exactly what Eddie would do.
And she married him, you know? Like, that's a girl whose friend I don't want to be. Because that's the girl who calls you every week, like, can you believe he made me red snapper? And I'd be like, yes, because you married the guy with wooden teeth who never does anything you want him to do. Like, I've been telling you this for a year. Why did you marry him?
She's like, it's only worth it for the cake tickets. That's the only thing I'm in for.
I mean, I told him I like cake, and now I have to go see music every time they come in town. I meant cake. I want fucking cake. Does he give me cake? No, never.
How
cake.
Many times do I have to ask for cake before he realizes we're not going to a concert?
Yeah, he did our whole wedding in like cakewalk wine. We didn't even have a cake at our wedding. He served ice cream, you know?
He served a frosting version of the band Cake. He didn't understand what I was asking for.
So,
I mean, there's stuff. David's making like a clam salad, which looks really gross, and I love clams, but that looks gross to me.
Now he's in a good mood. I was like, well, did Padma steal your meds? Because I feel like Padma's like a producer on Unreal, where they're just like stealing their meds to make them look crazy or whatever. Because one minute he's crying and throwing things, and now he's like, oh, clams! It's like he's all excited now. He's like thrilled.
I know. So in the restaurant, the judges start to arrive, and Tom's like, he's talking about the competition. And he's like, you know, more than anything, we're seeing who they are through their music selection. For instance, my son told me his greatest inspiration was Because I Got High by Afro Man. So you can learn a lot from someone through their music.
I'm just looking forward to someone singing my son's favorite song when he never graduated from anything. And it's called In the Closet. So that was great.
I heard that Gail's musical inspiration is Baby Shark. Baby Shark, no. I thought she was singing that all the time, but it turns out she was just making a menu request.
Baby Shark and cake.
Gail, there's no cake in the Baby Shark song.
Hi, baby. Did you have fun?
Oh, my neighbor back?
Yeah, my neighbor took Bueller sharks on a walk.
Baby
back.
Cooler.
So let's see. Eddie's like, God, I really don't want to let my wife down.
She's like,
cracks
late
me up.
She's like, remember that red snapper from 10 years ago? Yeah.
And Michelle's so, like, I'm really finding my voice here. I was like, could you ask it to be louder?
I also have to say, I have to give a special shout out to one of the guest judges, the creepy dude in the corner named Tandy Wilson.
Tandy. I mean, how cute is that name? I feel like Jessica Tandy lives on in so many little ways around me.
Well, you know, that show, The Last Man on Earth, they had like two characters named Tandy. And like that was like one of the jokes, was that there was like, A, that there was even a guy named Tandy, and that there were actually two guys named Tandy. And then here comes this show, and the guy, he's like bald but has a ponytail, and his name is Tandy Wilson. I just was like, I can't. This guy is hilarious, just without even saying anything.
Yeah, that guy was, all the guest judges were really funny today. They were all snarky. And I was like, I want to move to Nashville. Yeah. I like that guy. I guess he's the Kings of Leon guy. He was making fun. He's just like making guy jokes the whole time. But it's like, it's dad jokes, but it's like dads being naughty while they're golfing. You know, like a strip steak. Yeah, we like some strips, don't we, guys? You know, like one of those guys. It's like, yeah.
But they're all like, but everyone was like laughing so much more than the jokes deserved, because they were like, oh my God, he's the lead singer of Kings of Leon. If the louder we laugh, the more tickets we get. Ha!
You know, there's a lot of that. Charlie Brown laughing.
Yeah. So the plating begins. Did I skip over anything before we get into the plating?
No, I feel go like, for it. Okay. This does not need to be 19 hours, okay?
Yeah.
Stop, I mean, I'm always go back. Like, what are we going to talk about? Nothing happened. This episode sucked. And then we get into it. It's like 19 hours later. It's like we're limping towards the finish line.
I know. So basically, so Eric serves first. He serves like a take on a breakfast, like a steak, egg, and something another inspired by Biggie Smalls. And Tom says the meat is overcooked, but everyone else generally likes it. Then Justin, the big drama happens that Justin only plates 9 of his 10 plates, and he's like all upset because he's like, this could be the winning dish, and I don't have it. So he has to like face the judges with basically not everyone gets to have a dish, which Padma's like, oh good, I'm so excited to say this. Quiet, everyone, quiet. Justin, this means you're not eligible for the win. let that sink ahead. In a little bit. Go ahead anyway.
Go ahead. Make an effort anyway. It'll be hilarious.
This show's all about effort anyway. Mm. Sort of like Gail eating her old rubber shoes. Lots of effort. Not a great payoff, but entertaining nonetheless.
So he tells him what it is, and the wife... The King of Leon wife is hilarious because she's trying to be so nice to everyone. She's just like a nice person.
Who is she again? Oh, you mean my good friend, Lily Aldrich?
Isn't that who it is? Oh, yeah. My good friend, the wife of so-and-so, who's a friend of goodness, wife. So, yeah, she's like just trying to be so nice to everybody, which is really cute. But he's like, Justin comes out with his and she's like, oh my God, it looks just like Purple Rain. I was like, no, it doesn't. It's
like cabbage.
Yeah, it's sauteed cabbage. It looks like gloopy cabbage on a plate. I mean, it didn't look bad. But
to be fair, she probably like during a rainstorm was like, oh my God, cabbage is falling again. She doesn't understand the difference.
She took that it's raining meatballs or whatever.
Yeah.
Seriously.
She thought that was an actual like farmer's almanac. It's collided with a chance of meatballs. So Caleb is like, you know, well, I thought it was great. I mean, I only got to have half of it. And Tom goes, yeah, you're better half ate the other half of it. And everyone's like, ah!
Yes!
And Tom did one of these things like, yeah, nailed it.
Well, nailed it. Yeah, did it pretty good
joke.
Here.
Great joke.
I'm kind of out of order here. I'm trying to see judges sit, big guys. That's Jonathan Waxman. I never remember Jonathan's Waxman. I never remember his name, so I'm always like, big guy. And at the end, I start saying, Jonathan.
I love Jonathan Waxman. He has that, like, slow, rich person drawl. Like he just is easily dismissing anyone. He's sort of like a male Padma. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So, okay, we did Justin. Then Eddie comes out, and he's like, I don't want to let my wife down. And he tells him his story. And for what he's got red snapper with edamame puree, which, you know, I mean, I don't know. And then there's some other kind of puree on there. And then puffed
there's like
rice.
Olive oil and puffed rice, whatever. Yeah, there's sauces.
And very, very lightly cooked fish. So the fish did look jelly and gross. And then Jonathan's like, felt like I was eating cereal. They were not having that.
Yeah, Padma's like, have you made this dish for your wife often? And she hasn't left you, right? Just wanted to check.
So they didn't like that one. And then Michelle comes out, and that's where she's like, I'm finding my voice. And she's like, I was inspired by the Beatles. And everyone's like, okay, basic. You know, like, what a base model. I'm inspired by the Beatles. No offense, Dad. You know?
Yeah.
But I think everyone was like, basic, and because they were giving her a look. And then she's like, it's red snapper with corn and fava ragu. The smell of corn reminds me of my father. And she starts kind of crying. And I was like, please don't do this during service, you know?
Yeah.
Which is terrible. And I know that makes me a horrible human being, but I'm like, do not do this during service. I just want to eat, you know? Like, I was thinking selfishly, like, please let me just eat this bagel while I watch the show, you know?
Yeah. And of course, Padma sees the tears and is like, she smells blood in the air. She's like, oh, is your father still with us? You seem to be crying every time you mention his name. Is he alive? Is he alive right now? She's like, no.
No, he took his life when I was a kid. And she's like, oh, delicious. She's like, haywire. She doesn't know what to say. She's like, she keeps poking her eye like this.
I think you've done a great tribute to your father, and most importantly, to the memories of your idyllic childhood. I'm so glad Gail wasn't here to ruin it.
Padma trying to pretend she's crying and wiping the one fake tear that's coming out killed me, okay? It's like a pointer, Matt. You know when you're trying to click on something and the pointer turns into a finger, and it's like, hey, it's right here. Like, that's what Padma was.
I think I found a tear. I'm not sure if I can squeeze it out. Wait, let me think about Kelsey listening to all those Hunter Hayes songs. Oh yeah, there's a tear.
I'm masturbating and crying. Which am I doing right now? Anyone?
I can't tell if this is a tear of sadness or laughter. Maybe both.
Or is this cake? Just kidding. She's like completely confused. So, next up, Tom's like, whoa, that was the best thing we've had all season, which is, you know, Tom can go either way. I feel like Tom's just trolling us at this point.
Yeah. 'Cause
any other season, I feel like Tom would be like, That's a sad story. Fortunately, it was also a sad snapper. So get rid of her.
You know, I feel like all the salt in this dish was in her tears and not here on the plate. So, so then David panic at the David Disco because guess what? He turned around and he wasn't paying attention to the sauce. Because remember, he had a lot of sauce work to do.
And he wouldn't accept help. He wouldn't accept help from anybody.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he was like, no, no. This whole time they're like, can I help you? I'll help you plate. And he's like, no, no. He's like, horrible. And then, sorry, over-reduced your sauce.
Yeah. So he serves really basically a salty sauce.
Girl.
So he... So David serves his dish, which was that, like, it was like the pork and the clam things, whatever. And Tom's like, well, there's just like too much mush in here. It's just everything's mush. I don't get it. And Caleb is like, you know what, man? The mushrooms look like prunes. And some of you older guys at the table, you know what I'm talking about. You old guys. You just imagine Padma being like, and Gail, don't forget Gail.
Gail has a bath too. She gets it. Am I right, Gail?
Gail knows all about prunes.
Hey, don't feel bad. Gail's underreduced. Am I right, Gail?
Listen, this sauce too salty. Just send it over to Gail. She'll finish it off.
So then Kelsey is like, my husband is going to be proud of the fairy tale garden I created. Okay. And then, no, it didn't really work.
She's I did not like the way that looked.
She's like, it's grandma's gravy. You got to stir it. And I was like, no. Now, granted, my Mimawas isn't really a culinary pro or anything, but nope, it was unstirrable. It's like cement. Mimawas gravy, okay?
Well, also, so Kelsey basically made a deconstructed chicken pot pie.
Gross.
And so it was like this, it was like a ring of things. And it, I did not think it looked pretty. Actually, anything it looked like it was from the 50s. It was like chicken, then carrot, then like parsley. And I just was, to me, it looked very unappetizing. And I love a chicken pot pie. I mean, who doesn't?
Vegetarians.
I mean, who doesn't love a chicken pot pie?
I just find it despicable that someone would make a deconstructed chicken pot pie. The best part is the crust. It's a bowl of crust
and,
with crust on top.
Sauciness that comes out of it that makes it all gooey on the inside.
Yes, and there's something. Kelsey seems very nice on this show, and she's been nothing but really lovely to everybody. But I don't trust Kelsey, and I don't think she's really nice. I think she's evil, and I'm still mad at her for saying I'm the only person who's had a baby on purpose.
I think that she seems evil, but in a way that I like, so I'm okay with it.
But I want to like her. Like, that's my thing. Yeah. Like, I see her, and I'm like, I'm kind of want to be on her side because she seems nice and funny. But there's just something evil in her eyes that I don't trust. So, you know what? There. I'm sticking with it.
I'd like her, but she apparently oversalted everything. I guess she was too busy listening to those Hunter Hayes songs. Wow. Obsessed much?
So, what else happened?
So, then Sarah brings out her jambalaya, and everyone likes it. There's, like, there's no story with that. They just really, really like it a lot. It looks delicious. And Adrian, she serves her fruity de mer. And Jonathan Waxman is like, I'm very conflicted about this because it's supposed to be a butter broth, but it's more of a butter sauce. You know, they're like, okay. And then they're like, yeah, but it tasted delicious.
Question, is there ever too much butter?
Yeah. Well, Lily liked it. She's like, I thought I was full, but then I kept eating bite after bite after bite.
Lily loves everything, you know?
Yeah.
At this point, don't even listen to Lily. Lily's just faking it at this point.
And Caleb is like, I mean, I have a question for the table. Okay, everyone? Okay. Okay. How can you have a dish with a Minaj and the musical component is not Nicki Minaj? And everyone's like,
Yeah. At that point, I was like, you're officially done with me, okay? You need to walk away now, sir.
Padma was doing her laugh equivalent to how she cries. She's like, ha, ha.
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 Ha. She's like, ha. Ha, ha. They're like, Padma, you're pointing at your eye again. Sorry. So at the judges' table... Justin, Michelle, and Sarah are the top three.
Yeah.
But Justin can't win. As I told you before.
Remember when I told you you were already disqualified? Has that sunk in yet? Because it's still true.
Just wanted to bring you up here and rub your nose in it.
Would you say this is one of your greatest disappointments, Justin? We'll accept that.
She's like, do you need to point your finger to your tear ducts? Please feel free. We'll wait.
Would you like a tissue? Guess what? I use them all. Sorry.
So who ends up winning? Michelle wins. And they're like, well, Tom goes, well, you know, wouldn't have changed a thing. Except maybe, you know, a better career choice. But other than that, you know, still call your mother at Christmas. And I still like you deeply. She's like, And she goes, nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed
her dish looked amazing. It looked so good. I was like,
it did. I don't know what I expect them to do on Top Chef, but I just get bored sometimes. I'm like, wow, Red Snapper. There we go. But what else are they supposed to make? Rocket ships? Like, it's a. There's only so many things you
can make.
Is
that a ship made of arugula? Padma's like, all right, everyone, here's one. Hey, there were a few dishes that hit a wrong note today. Get it, everyone? Get it? I guess now I could sing for the Kings of Leon, too.
Some dishes didn't sing. They were a little flat. Come on, Gail. Come on, Gail. Keep going.
Have you ever heard Gail try to sing Beautiful by Christina Aguilera?
I've never disagreed with Christina Aguilera more, and she's a very good friend. Don't you hate when beautiful people sing Beautiful, by the way, in karaoke? It's like gorgeous girl. She's like, I am beautiful. I'm like, what? This is not made for you, okay?
The only thing worse is when people sing Alicia Keys on karaoke. I don't know what it is. There is something about a girl loves getting up there and doing this. Always that song, and they never hit it. They never sing it right. But there's in that moment when people sing that song, they think they're about to be discovered by, I don't know, the janitor or something.
I think that is so true. And to be fair, Alicia Keys never hits all the notes in that song either.
It is like, it's one of my least favorite songs. And I think it's really been, the reason why it's my least favorite is because it went through years of being butchered on American Idol and now has like sunken down to the karaoke level. And I know, I think I've ranted about it before because I definitely got some messages being like, oh my God, that's my karaoke song. Mm-hmm. I get it. But just know that that's what we're thinking while you're doing it.
Yeah, just so you know. Don't say you haven't been more,
life,
okay?
Just know that that's what we're thinking when you sing it.
Yeah, you suck. How about that? So the bottoms are Eddie, Kelsey, and David. Again, like you pointed out before. So I say Jersey. That's what I wrote, which I can't believe. I actually, even when I said that, I guess it was going to be Jersey. But then I couldn't believe they kicked him off because he's finally becoming a villain. I need my villain.
I know. She's like, David, how is the day for you? I'm assuming terrible because you served us mush on mush on mush.
Otherwise known as Gail's Tinder profile. And Tom's that was terrible. It was one note, one texture. And Jonathan's like, I was confused by the puff rice. What the fuck, dude? Were they out of Fruity Pebbles in the back? Like, come on. And Eddie's like, yeah, I overfocused the story. I just overfocused it. Which I don't remember puff rice in that story, but whatever, Heather.
Yeah. Pat was like, you guys watch Eddie cry. It's almost like his teeth are crying. It's hilarious. And they're talking about David's clam salad. Tom's like, you know, I couldn't figure out what everything was. It's like, it was confusing me, sort of like a privileged millennial who decides to become a mixologist instead of literally anything else in the world, especially a chef when his father is a world famous chef who has his own TV show. I mean, just spitballing here.
Yeah, you know, and normally I like clams, but I don't approve of what the clams are doing in this situation. And you know what? I'm not going to hold it against all clams. I'm going to just hold it up against the one clam that I let his mother have too much say in his life. And that's pretty much it. So sorry to the sad clam, but no. So
here's two things I don't want on my clams. I don't want them to be sandy. And I don't want them to become mixologists. That's all. So then Padma then has like a classic Padma moment with Kelsey. She goes, Kelsey, did you taste your gravy?
She's like, well, actually, you know, I did taste it. And because you never know how to answer these, right?
Yeah.
And so Padma's like, and you didn't taste the salt. And she's like, well, I went back to taste it, and I realized that the egg was a little too salty. And she's like, that wasn't the only thing. Because she had, like, a ton of components on her plate. And Graham's like, yeah, I put my finger around it. He said this 20 times, by the way. We don't give Graham enough credit for, like, really sticking to his guns when he has an opinion.
He's
like, I put my finger around it, and I got salt like this, like this. I was like, why isn't anybody making a Margaritaville joke, okay? He even said, like, a margarita. Come on.
Oh, look, he has a Gale snack on his finger. So Tom's like, yeah, the vegetables were salty. The salt was salty. The egg was salty. The dish was salty. Drop the mic. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's the sort of reading that a chef can give and a mixologist can't. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, good. So let's see. They're trying to decide who's going home. And then Kelsey is just stunned that she's in the bottom. And it cracks me up because I'm not sure if I like her. But she is like completely just stunned that she's been in the bottom twice now. And she's like, this is the one time I've been in the bottom in an elimination challenge. She didn't want anyone to be able to go, like, today? You mean today?
Yeah. And Jonathan Waxman's like, well, you know, Kelsey's dish was like the Dead Sea, which is never a good comparison with food. He's like, what's the worst sin? Lack of passion? Or oversaltiness. Gale, is that an option? Can we add that as an option? Number three, Gale, I choose three.
Lack of Gale is the worst sin. Take note, Top Chef, and Gale for getting pregnant at an inconvenient time for me.
I would have rather had a delayed season than a season without Gale.
Yeah, I'm not approving.
Yeah.
So then Jonathan's like, well, we had two salty dogs and one person who mailed it in. And Padma goes, but Eddie was boring. And Padma goes, it really ate oily and greasy to me. It's like, okay, you.
That was the most excited she got all season long.
She was like, where'd that come from? She goes from being a total robot to being like, it ate greasy to me. It's like, okay. I think it was when she got thrown off by that sad story.
I think so. So ultimately, it comes down to those three, and they send David home, and, you know, Tom gives his, like, let me kick you when you're down speech, and he goes, you know, I honestly, David, I really couldn't tell what I was eating. The sauce was way too overproduced and way too salty, and furthermore, I'm the number one guy from Elizabeth, okay? I'm the number one guy. Get the fuck out of here.
You know, music is supposed to signify great memories for us chefs. And, you know, the time you got married, or the time you fell in love, the time you had a baby, or the time you got disgusted because nobody listens to your advice and comes from your same town and then embarrasses your family name. So thanks a lot. I'm glad there's not a son's day, so I don't have to avoid sending you a gift. Goodbye.
Wait a minute.
And just as a reminder to all the chefs here, every day is Children's Day. Every day.
And then Jersey's like, I'm so heartbroken. I was like, you're a pussy, okay? You cried 19 times today, but God, I'm sad you're not going to be here to cry some more. And I have a feeling he's going to win all the way to the end and come back, because I think
he's really good.
Yeah, he's good, and I don't think that they would get rid of him.
Yeah, I think he's coming back. And then the episode ended with a in loving memory of Fatima, and then I like promptly started to cry. So it was great.
Oh, I know. Bless her heart.
Bless her heart. So anyway, that's basically it. I think we both have a pretty this recap went long, and we have a pretty tight timeline for this afternoon. So we have to push the mailbag this week, unfortunately. But
maybe
you
we'll
guys,
do it Monday. Also, we have we are going to do a set schedule now for these TV party live streams. We're going to be doing Monday and Tuesday at noon Pacific time until we announce differently. So just so everybody knows when those are. And if you want to catch the after plays, you can find those on Patreon and stream them to your TV or whatever, because we're also recording it for that. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much for being here. Go get your damn tickets.
Yeah, and more importantly, have a great weekend. Honestly, we all deserve
it. God, I'm so excited that it's the weekend. I cannot.
Me too. Me
everybody,
too.
Goodbye.
Bye, guys.
We love you.